Hey, folks, welcome back to Printables Pronouncers Podcast. I'm Bruce from Printable. We got Stephen Farrick out of Campus Inc. Our guest just had to leave, actually. The alarms are going off.
In the prison.
Yeah, she said it was the fire alarm, but she's also in a prison. So my thoughts are running around. But we've got Esther Weiss from Montana Women's Prison. A pretty cool story. She runs a screen printing shop in the prison, and she tells us a little bit more about that. What do you think was
Bruce,
cool?
Pretty impressive. $500,000 of revenue can only sell to certain organizations. Pretty insane.
Exactly. Government organizations and other prisons, but there's a lot of work.
I learned more about the correctional programs today than I have in a minute. Super, super interesting interview. So,
yeah. All right. This is a good show. Let's dive on in.
My roof is a chain link fence, so it's not very soundproof at all. My office is kind of like a big cubicle office, but 3 out of 4 sides are glass, like plexiglass. So I sit in a bubble when I do my computer work, and right in the middle of the production floor, and the door that opens and closes just kind of slams all the time. So they know that they're supposed to be being a little bit quiet, so they're not running big embroidery machines while I'm doing this.
Let me give the reason why maybe that there's a that you're in the setup that you are right now. Is it Esther Weiss? Am I saying that right? The last name? You know, for people listening, this all came together about 12 hours ago because I saw something really cool on Facebook that Esther posted. So I'm just going to read it real quick, and then I'll start to give a little bit more of the backstory that I was looking up. So Esther, you wrote, "I run a fairly successful shop in Montana." It's like, all right, cool. That's standard. There's a photo here of like someone working on a forklift or doing something here. But it's in Montana's women's prison. We have screen printing, embroidery, and sublimation. And the men's printing already offers print and signage services. We recently upgraded both embroidery and screen printing. What do you think would be a good investment to continue to grow the shop and invest in DTF? What do you think? Which is a separate topic. But so you're in Billings, Montana at a 250-bed correctional facility called Montana Correctional Enterprises, and you provide work experience.
I'll just correct you a little bit.
All right, perfect. All right, we'll transition it to you here there.
That's fine. So Montana Correctional Enterprises is actually the industry's programs within all of DOC, Department of Corrections, and my business is inside of the Montana Women's Prison. And it's technically a government business. So all of our programs are self-supporting. They pay my wages as well as the inmate workers here. And then we have 3 staff people. One program we didn't mention in the post is we have a really successful dog training program here.
I have so many questions.
I went deep into the dog thing, but you're right. We should go back to the...
Okay. So I have to unpack this a little bit because there's a lot there. So your business is in the correctional facility. Did you start it? Like, walk me through how that works.
Okay, so the Montana Women's Prison, like you said, has about 250 inmates. And they, when they first get to prison, they get a 30-day supply of hygiene items like shampoo, conditioner, razors. They're supposed to get a job in order to buy those items themselves. And so that's really their only expenses in prison besides stamps and envelopes and video phone calls and phone calls. So all of the other expenses of the program are paid, but all the expenses of the inmates are paid by state taxpayer money. So it costs about $50,000 per year to house one inmate. And so part of the mission of the Montana Correctional Enterprises programs is not to just provide training to inmates while they're in prison, but also to help take that tax burden down off of the state taxpayers.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And how, so you're saying they're supposed to pay for their stuff. So it sounds like this is like a mini community inside the prison then of jobs to get to buy stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other jobs in the prison, too. Like, the inmates run the kitchen here. They have a full kitchen, and they run three meals a day. They have a laundry service here. And then there's, like, an admin group that takes care of taking inmate pictures and selling their hobby items. They have a big hobby program here. The women are really into making crocheted items as well as Christmas cards or any kind of greeting card is kind of the main operation down at the hobby store. So some people make jewelry, things like that, and they can sell them in Deer Lodge at the hobby store there to get some extra money. So the Montana Correctional Enterprises jobs are just the jobs that bring in money from the public.
Interesting. So how did you get involved? So let's talk about scale. What, like, how big is the shop? We always get this question at trade shows. Like, what kind of shop do you run? Just so we kind of understand scale.
So
because there's forklifts and stuff in the pictures. Like, how big of a shop is this in there?
Yeah. So the forklift is actually just training that we provide to the inmates. We have a pre-apprenticeship program here through the Department of Labor where they get a certificate after they do a certain number of hours of training. And we add important classes like warehouse safety, OSHA 10, forklift safety, personal protective equipment, lots of different kind of relevant classes. And so that forklift class that I posted a picture of, they did that while I was on vacation, and they just took a bunch of pictures. And when they first started doing it, I thought
Steven,
it was kind of...
Did you take that class or no?
I did not take that class because there's a famous
Steven
picture
had
of me
a little
crashing
boo-boo.
A forklift with a bunch of shirts.
That's funny. I actually didn't take it either. And one time I had to drive the forklift around the block, and I just got in it and started it up and started driving. Like, I think I can figure this out. So it's not rocket science, but I didn't think it was all that useful at first because we don't have a forklift in our shop. And so I don't feel like if you train someone to use something that training is very relevant if they don't have an opportunity to continue to use those skills. But after we did it a couple times, the ladies, they love it so much. And everybody in the prison wants to take it. So we've kind of got the system down now easy enough that it's not a big impact, so we can continue to offer that. But your question was, what's our shop like? So
yeah.
I normally have anywhere from 10 to 14 workers out here. Inmates are called workers and staff are called staff. I don't know, that's just a culture thing, but we have 4 embroidery machines, 2 six heads, 1 forehead, and 1 single head. So we generally have 2 operators and 1 or 2 people who are trained in digitizing logos. Then in our screen print department, we currently have a 6-head V2 and a 4-head V1. I'm replacing that 4-head right now with another 4-head V2. So in there, we usually have 2 full-time operators. In the summertime, we'll hire a support. And then we have a gal that does graphic design. And she's really great. I got a lot of flack on that post, not only for the amount that
I was standing up for you. I was standing up for you because it was... Anyway, say why, too.
The reason is that, one, people really disagree with how much they get paid. And I kind of agree with this. If I could do better, I would. The inmates get paid between 40 and 85 cents an hour in our traditional work programs. And so I know most of the people on that page are like garage startups or, you know, kind of everybody. But, you know, one of the comments was like, well, of course you can make money, pay them that. And I do think that there's a lot of things wrong with the criminal justice system. I have a degree in criminal justice, but this is just where I found that I could help the most. And so I don't really worry too much about it. I do want to get more involved and listen to the legislative committee on justice and, you know, learn more about the court system and stuff. But for now, like, I connect with these women so easily, and I really do feel the ability to help them and improve the outcomes of their life. So that's kind of my work is my paycheck. And so, you know, training them and making sure that they have a really good, like, dynamic set of skills and a resume before they leave, like, is kind of my top priority at work all the time. So,
and it's not like, Esther, you're just like profiting off of low wages. No. Like, they determine, yeah, like it's a public service at the end of the day as well.
I wrote that. Yes, at first glance, it's like, wow, you're paying them. But okay, ignore that. Say basically we're paying them nothing, because it's some, like, what did you say? It was 10 cents or
40 cents.
40 cents an hour.
And so, 85 is the highest. But I'll tell you about some other programs that we have after we're done talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, though, if you basically round down to zero, that's like you're taking an apprenticeship. And if, like, you're switching careers or you're learning something, absolutely, you have to just shadow people and learn that. I mean, there's no better way to pick this stuff up than be in it and doing it and following somebody who knows what they're doing and then taking those skills and going somewhere else.
I was really lucky to come into a shop with a group of women who absolutely 100% knew their jobs, because I came from a background in sewing, manufacturing, and a lot of just management and production schedules and that sort of thing. So I didn't know how to screen print or embroider, and Rogue Printers was kind of my main resource. Well, when I first started, there was a t-shirt forum.
That's cool. Yeah,
t-shirt forums, yep.
All over the place, and I really find information in there very well. But the Rogue Printers, I didn't post on there for a long time, and I'd be a little gun-shy now. I felt pretty good about how politically correct my responses seemed, and I didn't get fired up or engaged with the people that told me that I wasn't a leader because I called her my designer. But I was curious about what other shops call their employees. Do you say my screen printer?
Stupid. It's stupid. You are 100% correct to not go deep into, you know, Facebook comments of random people who, everybody has different opinions and thoughts and comes from different backgrounds.
It definitely made me a little gun shy about.
I bet. Fortunately, it's just Facebook comments, too.
Yeah,
I was wondering if I was going to get roasted today.
I mean, Steven,
Shirt Show has a cool Discord they put out. That's a more friendly, friendly
that
space. Print Girl Mafia's got a cool friendly space as well. There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there that are just so confident in their keyboards. Like, I don't know if it's the Q-W-E-R-T-Y, but, like, you know, they just feel the need. Sometimes it happens, and it's kind of unfortunate. We should be better about it in our industry. But anyways,
Impressions 2023 is back. Really excited. It's January 20th to 22nd. We're going to be there, booth 3109, next to All the Rock and partners there in the big atrium. So come see us, grab a demo, see what's new, meet with your success manager. We're going to be with the whole Inktavo gang. That's Printavo, Inksoft, and Graphics Flow all in one area. 3109. We'll see you in January 20th to 22nd. All right, later.
Hey, Bruce, want to stop for a second to talk about our amazing sponsors. Who do we got today?
All right. First off, Graphics Source. If you guys are looking for a solution that can help with production art, I'm talking SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, digitizing. Farragut, I know, is even using them to create online stores. They can be able to help you. They've been doing it for over 30 years to be able to help shops specifically manage production art. So no more having a person manage this and training them and retraining as they leave, rehiring, blah, 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 blah. Use the Printavo pod for 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. That's graphxsource.com. And the best part is they plug right into your Printavo account. They set up the statuses and they manage it remotely, and they're plugging and chugging.
I heard they're building some cool things on the Printavo API last time I checked.
Rumor has it.
The Printavo, that's pretty sick. Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. If you mention the Printavo podcast, you can receive an extra 10% off your first order. Now is the time to get emulsion before it freezes and it doesn't ship well. Dave Eggers is working on something special, I've heard. So daddy's in the garage, daddy's in the basement. He's gonna come out of the world and surprise us with something. So stay tuned and follow him on Instagram. Bruce, who do we got next?
Love it. All right. Supacolor just went over to their facility in LA. Unbelievably cool what they've got going. Can't wait for a shop tour. But they've got a really cool guide you should check out at supacolor.com/printhustlers, or click the link in the description here too. Basically, it's just a best practices guide for everything. So high color count designs, gradients, hard to print locations, what heat press to buy, how to price. If any of these resonate with you, check out this guide. I downloaded it. You can't see this, but I've got the heat press set up right here on my desk. I was doing a little work helping my wife last night.
Did you get your new heat press, Bruce?
I did not. Christmas is coming.
Order it.
Christmas is coming.
Ooh, that's a heavy Christmas present.
Yeah, I mean, this little one is ridiculous. All right, supacolor.com/pronounce. Just check out the guide.
I texted Rum last night at 10 p.m. and said, Rum, I need this by Friday. Can you make it happen? He goes, yep, just send it over.
Rum's a boss.
Don't everyone do that to him at the same time, or then he's going to say no. But anyways, Bruce, I don't know about you, but you shouldn't spend all day cleaning dirty screens. EasyWay's line of environmentally conscious chemicals will get the job done faster, more efficiently, and will cost you a fraction of the cost per screen. At Campus Inc., we use 701 and 842. Bruce uses Easy Glide. Those are the chemicals we use to clean our dirty screens. And if you value a company to help with the how-tos, best practices, and questions, Easy Way is there. They are the easiest way. Give them a go. All right, Bruce, let's get back to the episode. I digress.
How does the shop start there, right? Like, so why a screen printing business?
Well, that was kind of before my time. So one of the things that I remember from the guy that trained me is he said that when he started here, there was over 20 people working in here, and he didn't really know what any of them were doing. And so they had some PISIP programs, and I'll explain that in detail when I'm finished. But basically, they were assembling gun straps and I don't know, that's all I can really remember is the gun straps, but they just had these little assembly programs and they had hired way too many people, and so he started looking for something, one, that didn't already exist at the men's prison, and two, that was easy enough to for him to learn and to train. There was already one embroidery machine here, and they were using that. And so he built on that and added more embroidery and really reached out to all of the government agencies and nonprofits locally to build a customer base. And so basically, you know, he started with a heat transfer business, I think. And then it eventually evolved into screen printing and continued to grow. He set this shop up really nice.
Got it.
When I left my previous job, which was at Mystery Ranch Backpacks in Bozeman, Montana, I did production coordinating, sewing machine operator, all different kinds of leadership jobs there. But I was burnt out. And so I started looking for work, and I found this job. And it was weird because I kind of thought that I knew the person that was doing it. Like, he rented a trailer for my mom. So I called her and I was like, is this Kevin's job I'm applying for? And she was like, I bet it is. You need to call him. So he kind of coached me through, like, up to the interview process, and thought I was a good fit for the job, and it was good for me because I had the backpacks, and then I had this degree in criminal justice that I never used. And so when I did the interview, I just felt like it was intense. There was four people there, and but I felt like I had really good answers for the questions. And when I walked out, I just thought, if they find someone that's better for that job, they're like a dead ringer, you know, because I felt like I had what it took. So I got the job, and when I got here, there was just one sewing machine in the middle of the room that they used to sew on a patch once in a while. And so I was like, well, we need to find a way to make money with that sewing machine. And So I just started contacting, you know, old manufacturing clients, and I found out that there's a federal law that says that you're only allowed to ship inmate-made goods over state lines with a special certification through the Department of Justice. And it turns out that that certification already existed in our shop, and we did one project where we cleaned a bunch of glue off of some boots, a pallet of boots for a company called Sims that sells fishing gear. And so after we were done with that project, he had me quote their wading belts. And he never got back to me, and I didn't know enough at the time for it to matter. So I asked my boss, like, what can we do to get these sewing machines in action, you know? And so he said, I have someone that's trying to get some sewing stuff done they don't have time for at the men's prison, so let's try that. So we went with Gelt Belt, which is a company out of Bozeman, Montana, that builds really fancy belts out of recycled materials. They have a sticky gel inside that sticks to your pants, so when you bend down, it doesn't go down with your pants, and you don't really have to have belt loops. And so fancy. They came and toured here, and I just built their belt right in front of them and gave them a price and told them I could do it no problem. And they knew that I worked for Mystery Ranch, and that kind of, like, set them in, because they Mystery Ranch is really, like, a top-end brand in Montana. Well, they're international, but everybody prides in the fact that Mystery Ranch builds in Montana and hires in Montana and that sort of thing. So I got that business going, and I ordered another sewing machine, and then Sims eventually came back to me and asked me to quote that belt again. So I just kept buying more sewing machines. And
Did it turn into the screen printing?
Oh, the manual press was here when I got here. Both of the manual presses. So I just had to learn how to do it from the ladies that were doing it. I spent like 2 days training with them. I've never pushed ink on a shirt. But I have solved a lot of problems in screen printing in the 7 years that I've been here.
I bet.
So Esther, when it comes to like screen printing embroidery, where do you get your customers from? Are they other government agencies? Are they like a community? Like, what are the restrictions and rules for who you can sell to?
I can only sell to government agencies and nonprofits. They don't have to be like a legitimate nonprofit, but just not a for-profit business. And then I can sell to for-profit businesses, but I have to use our dealer network. And so that just allows somebody in the community to make some money off of our projects. Broker.
Okay. So so that way you wouldn't like underprice or compete, because obviously your overhead is way lower.
Yeah. And that is one of my goals for our shop, is that I can get a PICEP program started in screen printing and embroidery. So the steps to those goals are like finding a customer base that makes sense for us. I don't really want to do retail shop stuff, but I will if I have to. I think that restaurants or work crews and safety crews would be a good fit. And so I'm going to spend some time in 2023. I've never done sales as my job. I do a lot of customer service. But I do have a salesperson here who travels to different government and nonprofit trade shows. And then she spends about half of her time out of the office just trying to connect with new customers. And so I think I'm going to like start a competition with her, because I recently went on vacation, and one of my friends that I traveled with has never met a stranger in her life. She talks to every single person she sees. And so I took a page out of her book, and I've just been stepping it up and talking to anybody that I see. And I recently got approved to have a pizza party in the prison, which is not normal. And so I met a woman in the thrift store that said she did flower arrangements. So I asked her to come into the prison and teach the ladies about making flower arrangements for our Christmas party.
Nice. Okay, I'm just picturing this in a movie or a TV show, right? And it's just like, I'm working in a shop with other inmates. I'm kind of like looking behind my shoulder, right? Like, but is it like low crime, or like, can you give examples of what you can say of people that are involved doing this and having equipment?
Absolutely.
Or
so
access.
We kind of have everything here. One thing about women is they get sentenced for a less amount of time. And they don't commit as serious of crimes as men. And so an average stay for a woman in prison is 9 to 18 months. And so we do have long-term people here, and I try to make sure that the people in the shop is a good mix of people that will get out of prison on a regular basis, and long-term people help stabilize that workflow. So,
got it. And train and do that stuff.
Yep, there's one long-term person in every department. And so I have people who, you know, killed their husband or were in an abusive relationship. And I have people who, you know, had financial crimes or... Montana only has one state women's facility. So yeah. They do have one thing that's really interesting about Montana's justice system is their sentencing guidelines. So I'm pretty sure it's one of the only states where when you get sentenced, you get sentenced to the Department of Corrections and they get to choose whether you're housed securely or in the community. So we have a really big probation and parole department. And so if a woman gets a 20-year sentence in the news, she'll spend a quarter of that time in prison for sure. So somebody who killed their husband, is common for them to get a 20 to a 30-year sentence. And then they see the parole board after 8 years. And that's actually one of my favorite timelines for people to hire, because I think in 8 years I can teach them very well how to be screen printers, embroiderers.
Low turnover.
Yeah. Administrative assistants. And then leaders. I once paroled someone who had been here for 8 years, and when we wrote her resume, I felt like she could be the manager of any shop that she walked into.
Do you know about after? Yep. End up at shops?
I try. I keep track as best I can. A lot of times they will go to a pre-release center, and there's a program here called Culinary Arts Program in the pre-release center for the women. And so a lot of them go over there. And so then they kind of have to get in the restaurant industry after that program. But I have gotten, I want to say, 3 people since I've been here in 7 years, which doesn't sound like a lot. But everybody has a different path, if that makes sense. A lot of people don't get to go to their hometown where they committed their crime, so they'll have to go over to Missoula or Butte, and so those people a lot of times will just take the first job that they can get, and so I will always reach out to them if I know they have a crappy job and remind them, like, hey, I can help you try to get a job, you know.
Yeah.
Still here for you.
Steven, kind of awkward question for you, but like, would you hire someone, or have you hired someone with a record?
I haven't personally hired someone with a record. Well, obviously everyone I hire has a record in here, but I would recommend that you at least hire them or hear their story, because a lot of them do have a lot of accountability for their crime and they have a lot of training, so they're great people to try, but I can't really guarantee that they'll be as good at working outside of prison as they are in, because there's not a lot to do in prison besides work. They have court order programming that they take, and they can go to hobby and they can go to gym and I don't know what all else. There's a million things they can do in prison actually, but so they do have to want to work to come here.
What do you think, Farrig? Would you how would
so
you think about that?
We've worked with a couple temp agencies, and a couple times they've disclosed, like, this person's been previously convicted of this or that. And as long as it's not something that, like, our team feels uncomfortable about, I'd be open to it. But yeah, it is a little weird. Like, I'm not going to be, I'll be vulnerable for a second. It is a little bit weird for a business to, you know, see that and be totally okay with it. And it's probably something we have to get over as a society and learn to deal with.
One thing is that America does incarcerate the most people of any, what do we call ourselves, fancy country. And so I think it's important, even if you have the box on your application that says, are you a felon, to ask the person, what their felony is and ask them what they did to make it right. Because I feel like that's the number one thing that people can do is just try to make their lives better. And I give them a canned answer for the "are you a felon" question. I say, I made this mistake. It ruined my life and many other people's. I went to prison and I did this many years. And now I'm getting out. I'm still a Department of Corrections person. I have a probation and parole officer. And I am just going into the next chapter of continuing to make amends for what I did. And I hope that you'll be a part of making that a success story for me.
That's a pretty great answer.
Fire people? Are you worried about firing people?
I'm not. I've been a manager for, I think, 15 years now, so I've had plenty of it. It's a little easier in here because I don't have as much HR presence. I'm managed remotely. And so for the most part, I work with the disciplinary committee here if somebody breaks a prison rule. Mm-hmm. And then that's really easy. I just...
What about misprinting a whole order?
No. I would not do that. That is probably the biggest expense that our shop has is rework. And it's not even bad. It's not outside the industry standard. But we do have people who, they just have a lot of priorities when they're in prison. So an example is they have a video visit with a family member who's going through, you know, law trouble or something, and they're getting their kids taken away, or they have court order programming that they have to do. So their ability to be present isn't always like maxed out.
Yeah.
And so we have reprinted entire runs of sweatshirts or entire runs of uniforms that the logos were washing off, or what is the other problem?
To get like Ryan Kasperian in there or something.
Well, and it's or not a consultant. Bad. Like I said, I have them run the numbers on it, and you know, we don't really exceed 1%, so I don't worry too much about it.
Well, okay, so you said each inmate costs about $50,000 a year to house, feed, you know, and take care of. Do you know what the effect that you've had maybe on the people that work there to bring that down, or is that analytically hard to prove?
Montana's DOC isn't really fancy enough to, you know, collect those statistics. I'm sure you could find them federally.
Interesting, a great website.
There's national, what is it called? NCIA. It stands for National Correctional Industries Association. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they have statistics like that kind of for all of the programs. So one of the things I didn't finish telling you about my shop that's really unique is that in my sewing program, I have what's called a PISIP program. That stands for Prison Industries Certification Enhancement Program. It started in 1979 as a way to convince the federal government to open up a clause that says that they can buy prison-made goods. And so... they started this certification program. We have to pay the inmates the 10th percentile of the prevailing wage in the industry that they work in. And so in the sewing area, that's like $10.69 an hour. And we can take up to 80% of that back. What we do is they can send a check home to their families. They have a mandatory savings account. There's a victim compensation fund that we pay into. And then the biggest portion, I think it's like 35%, is room and board. And that just goes back into our programs to build more programs and add educational opportunities to our programs. So when I was busy, I had 6 sewing machines, 1 bar tacker, and 1 serger, and they were all going at once. But I recently lost some business with Sims Fishing Company and Jelt Belt. So... Jelt Belt is a certified B Corp. Do you guys know what that is?
I've heard of it.
Some sort of nonprofit something.
Yeah, it's not technically a nonprofit, but basically what it means is that this company, this for-profit company, exists for reasons that are beyond a profit. And so Jelt Belt has all the recycled materials in their products. They used to take so much pride in working at the Montana Women's Prison. And... they have something else. Oh, they give a lot of money back to their community they have a special place in their heart for people with special needs. And so they give money to all of the special needs groups in the Bozeman area.
Got it.
And so B Corp stopped certifying companies who use prison labor. So we actually lost our jail belt contract because of that. And she loves us, and she still wants to use us. She's always looking for ways. She'll buy her employee gifts through us, and just any kind of random side project that she can think of. But for now, her production is just being done by some of her friends, and then she tries to employ women in rural areas. And so I do think that there's opportunities for inmates leaving this program to go to work for Jelt Belt.
Right.
Almost no matter where they go.
That makes sense.
One interesting thing about people in prison is that 90% of them leave. And so they leave into any community in the state of Montana. So if you think about the people that live around you, the people that are in your families, you know, there's always somebody that is on the outside edge or that doesn't quite fit. You know, if that person came into your community and they didn't have any job skills and they came out of prison more of a thug than they were when they came in, how safe would that make your community feel? Whereas what we try to do is make sure that they have all those skills so that when they get in those communities, they can continue their path of recovery. So
I like it.
Wow.
That's Esther, the mission.
If there is one thing you wanted people to hear, this is the first time I've learned about this, which is really, really interesting. And I'm probably going to do a bunch more research on this, but if there's one thing you want, one message to get out or one thing you love screen printers to hear, what would that be?
So one thing is that I already mentioned that I want employers to at least, inquire about the felon box and not just have it right in their policy that if you have a felony, your application doesn't make it past the desk. Because a lot of times these people have done a lot of work to make up for what they did. I think they do spend the time. There is every single opportunity to get well while you're in prison. The Montana Women's Prison has not only vocational education, but they have regular basic education. They have tons of volunteers that come in here and teach everything under the sun, from personal finance to, Bible studies and therapy. You can get all the kinds of therapy in prison. When I first started here, I didn't think there was much therapy. There were therapists that work here, but I never had a worker that was like, I gotta go to therapy. And now they're all like, I have my therapy appointment. So they've definitely got that, you know, established thoroughly. So that's kind of one of the main things, is that the screen print embroidery shops, really any businesses out there, take a chance on a felon. I did it in my own business. When I first started here, I rented my basement to a guy that came out of pre-release, and it worked out really well. He rented from me for over a year. He always paid rent on time. He had a couple friends that were a little bit sketchy, but I told him one time not to bring someone back that threw a little temper tantrum in our driveway, and he never did. So that went really well. It was a positive experience, and I would do it again. The next time it wasn't so good. I posted, and I got a lot of people from pre-release. And unfortunately, I have access to all their records, and so I could just tell by how many times they'd been in trouble that it probably wasn't their time.
Yeah.
And so that is something that employers can do, is just look into someone's background, see how many charges they have over, you know, that's public information, over the course of the years. And if they're, you know, if they've repeated 10 times, that might not be the best person to make the, you know, to take the chance on. But if it's only their second time, like, they need something. The shops in Montana, to know that we're here and that we hire and train. We give really great training. I mentioned forklift training, but we also do OSHA 10, and I think I said all the main ones, but the ladies here can get a pre-apprenticeship in administrative assistant courses, and so they're pretty much capable of doing almost anything you need in your shop, and they would start by snapping t-shirts or scrubbing the floor. So if you have a chance to hire a felon, please, you know, please give me a call and I'll tell you about that person and how good they were and what their challenges are. And then finally, I'm going to try to build a customer base this year of private companies who are not sending their goods over state lines. So it could be gift shops or work groups or almost anything, because I want to start the PISIP programs in screen printing and embroidery so that I can pay those ladies more and they can send money home to their families.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Wait,
is there a place
where if somebody wanted to reach out for to hire or there's no like website or something? How does that work?
Yeah,
can they email you?
Yep, they can send an email to me at eweis@mt.gov.
Okay.
Or they can check out, our website is kind of terrible, but it is on the Department of Corrections website for Montana, and we're called Montana Correctional Enterprises. And you can also see all of the other programs that we have, not just at the women's prison, but at the men's prison. They have a print and sign shop, they have a ranch, they have a dairy, they have a super fancy laundry service. They have a food factory, so they serve 13,000 meals every day. They send them to the men's prison, the state hospital is right down the road, and all the little detention facilities and pre-releases that are in the area.
Wow.
They have a
Factor 75. There.
And that is called, I don't know what that's called, but they have a store downtown where they sell all the hobby items. The men's prison makes a lot more like horsehair items, leather work. I'm trying to think of what else. They do a ton of art, and there's a hobby store right on Main Street in Deer Lodge, Montana, where you can check out all of their work. You can contract an inmate to make you something custom. I just had bought a whole bunch of paper folded Christmas ornaments that are really cool, and I bought all my Christmas cards from there.
That's awesome.
It's a great way to kind of support people that maybe aren't a fit for a traditional work environment. And then that gives them money to make their phone calls and stuff. There's also community work in Deer Lodge where they go to the cemetery and they keep the grounds at the cemetery, and then a couple of government buildings where they do janitorial services. So Billings city government isn't quite as accepting of putting inmates in the community, because they're the ones terrorizing our communities. And so we have a lot of small crime here, robbery. There's been a lot of shootings, things like that. So they're just not excited. There's a big public safety push. And so we have a fence clearance here where I can get them a pink shirt. And they can go outside the fence with me to accept deliveries or to set up a piece of equipment. And so I usually have two or three pink shirts in both programs so that I can take care of that. But they have to be under direct supervision. I have to see them all the time when they're outside.
Esther, this is really cool. I just want to say thanks for jumping on so quick and sharing the story about this. It's eweis@mt.gov. We'll drop the stuff in the description as well for people if they want to reach out. But thank you again. Appreciate it.